Thank you for joining us for Faith and Family today. Today's program is pre-recorded and the listener lines will not be open. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the Faith and Family program. To find out more about Concordia University, just visit our website, kfuo.org. Then go to the sponsor section, click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out all about the great programs they have to offer and where they're located. This week, we've been discussing important topics concerning youth, and today we revisit a topic we discussed earlier this year in August, the recent changes in policy for the Boy Scouts of America. We'll revisit the original conversation with Reverend Dr. Al Culver, LCMS Director of Church Relations, and Reverend Dr. Mark Thompson, Pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Peavely, and regular chaplain for the Boy Scouts. So let's go back to that conversation with Reverend Dr. Al Culver and Reverend Dr. Mark Thompson in August. Let's look at the history of the Boy Scouts in America. And Pastor Thompson, you probably know a little bit more about that.
Well, I do know that we're over a century old, 103 years, and it started as a movement in this country that took off very fast. And the mission that the Boy Scouts state for themselves is that they want to prepare people, and I'm quoting from their new membership standards resolution, want to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. Scouts are organized with a chartering organization owning the unit, and that is oftentimes a church, and that's how my involvement has been in there with our Lutheran churches, having had an historic relationship as was mentioned, started really back in the 1940s. For us, even though scouting is older than that. But the chartering organization then operates the troop or the pack or the venturing crew, as it may be. And they provide a place for the scouts to meet and then the opportunity for some direction in the scouting program.
So a congregation certainly can be a charter, but other organizations can also, or other communities can start, can charter a
troop. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. They can be schools, they can be various auxiliary organizations, that kind of thing.
And Pastor Culver, you mentioned it was in the 40s that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod said it was okay, that scouting was okay. What was the situation? Do you know anything about the situation prior to that, or what our view was prior to that?
There was a concern that scouting could lead to unionism and syncretism, that there was an uncertainty about did the Scout Oath pledge allegiance to a generic sort of God that isn't the true Christian God. There was, I believe, some concern, is scouting anything like lodges, which the Missouri Synod still to this day says is not proper for members to join. And we had the Synodical Conference, the Wisconsin Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Slovak Synod, and Missouri were, at least initially, when scouting first began, were very leery of it. Wisconsin Synod, in particular, was concerned that merit badges would be seen as a way of earning salvation, meriting good works or doing, doing a good turn, and somehow that would people would begin to think that this was a way of earning salvation.
And is it?
I don't believe that is, that merit badges, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod never argued that. Yeah. So even within the Synodical Conference, there was a disagreement on exactly what this meant and what was right and wrong about it. I think in light of some of the recent scouting decisions, some of the concern that these other Lutheran groups had at the time, you can at least appreciate why they might have been concerned back in the 20s and 30s and 40s when scouting really took off in America. And maybe they were prophetic in some sense about what might happen.
We've got a history. The LCMS has a history with scouting. We have congregations that are chartered. What does it look like? What's the landscape look like today in terms of charters in LCMS congregations? Any idea what that looks like? Pastor Culver?
I don't know the exact statistics. I know there's a few larger troops that are chartered out of Missouri Synod. I do believe that unfortunately, in some cases, while the Missouri Synod congregation might be the chartering agency or the chartering entity, in some cases, the congregation itself or the school itself is not actively involved. And so you, while it technically it's the chartering agency, mm-hmm. you have people outside of the church basically running the troop.
That's often the case today. You can have member-only, Lutheran-only troops. You can technically have that. I don't know of any that we have. There used to be Roman Catholic-only troops and Latter-day Saints-only troops, and I think there are still some of the Latter-day Saints-only troops. Their membership was restricted to that particular church, that particular religious denomination. But once if you declare that yours is open to anybody joining it, even though it's chartered by your church, then you allow other people who are not members of your church to be part of the scouting organization there. And most of our, in fact, I don't know of any of our LCMS churches that that operate in any other way than that. And I think that is correct that over time, a lot of these churches have taken less and less ownership in their scouting units. And so they kind of operate separate from the church, even though the church is the chartering organization.
So it's open to the community. It's open to anyone, and not just the boys, but the leadership could be open to anyone as well, correct?
That's correct.
What are the benefits that you see that scouting has provided? What are the good things that have come out of scouting in your experience, Pastor Thompson?
Well, personally, the wonderful opportunity you have for leadership development in scouting, it's set up with a patrol system within the troop where you have the scouts that are earning badges, but they're also taking on positions of responsibility that where they learn by managing and organizing and leading other boys or adventuring other boys and girls. And there they develop in ways that you often don't have opportunity in our society where youth can learn to lead other youth, and then that trains them to be leaders later on. Scouting, with the exception of the recent membership standards decision, I think in most all phases really takes a good, strong moral stand for what is right and wrong and how people should act and behave and that kind of thing. The role of the benefit to the church as a chartering organization is something that, as I talk to other pastors and congregations, I try to help them realize that there is a potential there. And the scouts are upfront about this being okay. And that is that if you charter a scouting unit, you can profess what you believe and teach within that scouting unit. While you can't require the members of the scouting unit mm-hmm. to join your church or to also say, you know, require they have certain religious beliefs to join your organization or your church, you can use that as a platform to promote your beliefs. You can also, as we do at Zion, use it as a means of inviting other people who perhaps don't have a religious affiliation or a home church to really give consideration to joining your church. And we've seen quite a bit of growth in our church through our scouting organizations that we charter, just by being present, by offering those invitations, and by the stands that we take as a congregation.
Pastor Culver, what benefits have you seen?
Well, I think the premise of scouting is to make people good citizens in the country. So there's leadership elements taught in scouting, which couldn't be very beneficial for the person. If you've ever been to an Eagle Scout Court of Honor, you hear of all of the professions that Eagle Scouts and Boy Scouts have become, and frequently clergy are among them, as well as politicians and other high-profile positions in our society. You also have this element of being reverent, recognizing that religion is important to being a good citizen. So the scouting program, I think, in part was designed to help people be good, productive citizens as a part of society. And then when you couple that with a religious element chartered or sponsored by a Lutheran congregation, there could be very many positive elements to the program. I do believe churches and congregations used it as a, I don't want to say as an outreach tool precisely, but it did lead to outreach and people becoming more aware of that congregation.
In a society where everything around us usually drives us to be consumers rather than producers, it sounds like what you're saying is that scouting is really intended to guide young people to be productive and to be producers rather than more producers than consumers, to be productive and contribute to society rather than just sitting back and consuming everything.
That's a good analysis, yeah.
And that's certainly what – it's kind of countercultural in a sense. And here we are facing a cultural issue.
Well, in this – excuse me – in this book from 1944 on scouting in the Lutheran Church – they have all sorts of projects that the pastor could encourage the Boy Scouts to do, such as building small churches in the woods, I think little chapels, bookcases and bookshelves for the church's bookstore, helping with Sunday school. They also had a thing they could volunteer as elders or ushers in the church. So there's all sorts of activities. And I think the Lutheran badge back when required something like 150 service hours. And I think anyone who's familiar with the current scouting rules, 150 hours is far exceeds what's required for most badges today.
Yeah, that was called the Pro Deo et Patri, and I earned that badge. And it took a long time. We talked about how it was about as difficult to earn that as it was the Eagle Scout Award, so... although the Religious Emblems program today is pretty extensive, it's divided into four parts instead of just the one as it was back then. So it encompasses Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And the one that's the closest connection to the Pro Deo et Patri, or God and Country, as it's translated into English from the Latin, is the God and Church phase of that. And it is pretty extensive still. But you're right, the service hours are less than that, that's for sure.
So there are certainly a lot of benefits to scouting, as we can see, and there are congregations that are involved that have chartered. So it can lead to productive youth, it can lead to opportunities to tell the good news about Jesus in your community, invite people to the congregation. There are certainly benefits. Now let's get to the hard stuff. What happened this spring? What unfolded this spring? Pastor Thompson, you're probably pretty involved in that, and then we'll come to Pastor Colfer
okay.
as well.
Well, it's hard to get some real clear definition of this, so I'll preface this by saying this is my assessment based on what I've been able to find, okay? But What happened was that there's been pressure, I think everyone knows this, for a number of years by certain politically active groups to try to get the Boy Scouts to remove their restriction against homosexual membership. And the Scouts successfully fought a court case that went all the way to the Supreme Court and was found in favor of the Scouts at that time. Saying that they had the right to set their own membership standards, and that could include then the prohibition against homosexual scouts and scouters. Scouters refers to scout leaders. There's been increasing pressure over the years, more and more court cases, especially some coming from very liberal-leaning courts, that has put more pressure on the Scouts, along with a lot of major corporate donors. And so that all kind of was one part of what moved them in this direction. Another aspect of it was the stories of Scouts who were removed from scouting because of sexual orientation questions. And a sincere desire to try to help and serve all young people, including those who may have some questions and confusion even about sexual orientation issues in our culture today. They originally wanted to just open a dialogue with their major chartering religious partners, the church bodies that are very involved in scouting, and just to talk about, okay, how can we constructively address all these issues? And that was scooped by a major news organization who then turned it into kind of a political agenda. With the help, of course, or being driven by politically active groups that want to force scouting into a particular position. And that led to a firestorm of activity. And they're having to make a decision on this, which they did last May.
Pastor Culver?
Well, you excuse me, you also had other factors such as members on their board from major U.S. corporations that had certain policies regarding sexual discrimination who are also pushing this with the Boy Scouts. One of the unfortunate aspects, I believe, is that the sexuality question, just even statistically, the number of boys questioning their sexual identity, I think, is extremely tiny. So now you're taking a program that was designed to make people productive citizens and sexualizing it along with the rest of the culture.
So that really kind of opens it. Would you say prior to this, it wasn't a topic that was really addressed much in the Boy Scouts?
It really never came up. I mean, this issue didn't arise from within scouting, with the exception of a few isolated instances. It came from the larger cultural agenda that's going on. And I think if you look at the way the resolution is stated, you know, the whole purpose of Scouts and how they addressed it was to try to take this issue out of, of the discussion, because it wasn't going away from the culture with their pressure. And so they tried to craft a resolution that would, I think they believe, not compromise what scouting stands for, not being a tool of a particular political agenda, and to try to keep focused on what their mission is.
Pastor Thompson, what's your perspective on the resolution that BSA passed in May?
Okay. In preparation to answer that question, I'd like to define that I see, as we look at the decision, the membership standards decision by the Boy Scouts, that there's kind of three issues for us, and we're trying to digest this. Number one, is this a good move by the BSA, by the Boy Scouts of America? Number two, can Christians still support scouting in light of this membership standards change? And number three, can LCMS congregations still in good conscience charter scouting organizations? Those are three issues that are distinct and related. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it was a good move by the BSA to do this, as Dr. Culver brought up, you know, how this influences the culture and what this says about the culture and all those kind of things, you know, we might have some real strong reservations about some of those this move or the things that led to this move and that kind of thing. But that is a separate issue. Can Christians still support scouting? And then can LCMS congregations still charter scouting units in good conscience?
All tough questions that we really have to work through, really.
Right, right. And I think one of the things to keep in mind as we look at this is that scouting is a religiously pluralistic organization. Now, there's a new organization that's being started right now where they want to make it religiously Christian, a youth organization or evangelical Christian, really, as kind of the, you know, your community church type theologies and that kind of thing. And that's called On My Honor. And that would restrict membership to people who were confessing Christians according to a certain set of beliefs, and sexual orientation is a real important part of that in this new On My Honor organization. We've had some Lutheran scouting organizations over the years and continue to. There's one called Lutheran Rangers, and that restricts membership to Lutherans. And so you subscribe to the creeds and confessions of the Lutheran Scouts. And Dr. Culver, what was the Wisconsin Synod's organization?
They call them Pioneer Scouts.
Pioneer Scouts in the Wisconsin Synod. But again, membership is restricted based on the religious beliefs of those denominations. In scouting, you have a requirement for a belief in God, but that's the extent of it.
And that's undefined.
It's undefined. You have to have some kind of belief in God to be a member of the Boy Scouts. And that's why I say it's religiously pluralistic. Within scouting, though, they have historically affirmed all the different religious groups' right to teach according to their creeds and confessions. So at large scouting gatherings, we have Lutheran church services. We sponsor Lutheran chaplains. As I said before, Lutheran-sponsored or chartered troops can portray and profess what they believe to their scouting unit, but we can't restrict membership based on a person's personal religious preference unless we have a Lutheran-only troop, as I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, can we take a quick look at the resolution then?
Sure.
All right. The specific change that has taken place from this resolution is that there is the they removed the restriction. I'll put it this way. They removed the restriction that had forbidden homosexual boys who believed they had a homosexual orientation from being part of the BSA. That had been a restriction, and they removed that. Now, the restriction still is in place for adult scouters. They're not allowed to have adult leaders who profess to have a homosexual orientation. They are not allowed to be leaders. And there's a whole different set of standards for adult leaders than there are for scouts. By the way, that indicates, while that may be a compromised position, it also indicates that the BSA didn't simply cave to an activist agenda that's trying to push a particular belief on us. All right. When you look at the resolution, you see that it reaffirmed the prohibition against sexual activity of any kind in scouting. And scouting has stated and continues to state that does not believe in any kind of premarital sexual activity, and any sexual activity of any kind is not allowed in scouting. The resolution also reemphasized that scouting does not allow the promotion of a particular political agenda. So while they removed the prohibition against sexual orientation clause, they said that this is not supporting or endorsing a particular agenda. It's just saying that someone who believes they have that orientation can still be a part of scouting. Now, the big question is, does this resolution overturn the longstanding BSA policy that allowed the Missouri Synod to be involved back in 1944? And Dr. Culver can speak more to that here in a moment, I think. But that policy said that the authority of the local pastor and the congregation could not be superseded in any way by the scouting program. And so if we are able to continue to teach and profess that what we believe to be true regarding sexual orientation, and that is only the biblical understanding of marriage and sexuality, then in that case, if the resolution is interpreted in that way, it perhaps does not present a crisis of conscience for a Christian supporting scouting and LCMS congregations continuing to charter scout. So that's a pretty, I know that maybe get into a little bit of detail there.
Sure.
But those kind of things are kind of what are at the heart of this issue.
Sure.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Gardasil, the controversial vaccine for young girls to prevent some strains of a sexually transmitted disease, is coming under more fire, this time from the entire Japanese government. They've stopped use of it throughout the country because of its bad side effects. These include seizures, blindness, paralysis, speech problems, and death. In the U.S., 28 girls died in 2008 alone. Merck, the drug's maker, admits they don't know its effect on young girls' cancer risk, their immune system, their reproductive system, or its genetic effects. I believe Merck is putting money high above the health of your daughters, and I worry a generation of future women will pay the price. Avoid Gardasil and instill a strong message of abstinence until marriage in all of your children.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, extending a warm invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Each day I'll share scriptural encouragement along with practical thoughts, humor, trivia, news items, wonderful Christ-centered songs and hymns. It's a great spiritual recipe for your noontime hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance, underwritten in part by Mid-American Coaches and Children's Christian Concern Society, an LCMS recognized service organization.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock and originates from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, where Reverend John Shank leads worship. Our live late service at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Reverend Ron Rawl serves as senior pastor. Join us for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on KFUO.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Happy birthday to you.
Hundreds of people have joined the Reverend Billy Graham to celebrate his 95th birthday in Asheville, North Carolina. Michael W. Smith led the singing, while speakers included former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, who said the evangelist was
95 years young. 95 years, and Billy Graham, we need you around another 95 years. We want to be able to call you Methuselah.
Graham wasn't expected to speak, but used the occasion to salute Cliff Barrows, his partner in more than 60 years of evangelistic crusades.
Cliff, I want to thank you. This celebration is partly for you as well. And I want to thank you for all you have meant to me through all these years.
The party also has shown Graham's video, The Cross, which was broadcast nationwide. I'm Steve Coleman.
Thank you for joining us for Faith and Family. Today's program is pre-recorded, so the listener lines will not be open. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. Joining me in the studio today, Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission, and we are discussing the Boy Scouts of America, the decision that was made back in, I believe it was in May, that was their announcement that was released, mm-hmm. and then we discussed it on Faith and Family in August, and now today we're back discussing it again, really talking about the information, the considerations for LCMS churches and individuals that was released on October 7th. Why this information? Why have you put this information together? What led up to it, and how's it going to be useful?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on today.
Sure.
It's always wonderful to be on the show and join you. First, I want to say thank you to the church for being patient. Many people waited a long time since the time of the decision of the vote with BSA in the summer for the LCMS to finally release information. And that was challenging for congregations. A lot of people were anxious, but we tried to be very careful and cautious. We spent a lot of time talking to LCMS pastors and lay people who've been highly involved in BSA, what they thought this was going to look like, what the vote actually meant, when it would be implemented in January. We spent a lot of time listening to the BSA, meeting with the local folks here in Missouri, but then really digging deeper into the history of the LCMS, how we got into scouting mm-hmm. in 1944, the challenges and conversations that took place between the LCMS and BSA all the way back in the 30s, and then finally sitting down face-to-face with BSA in Texas to ask them some very direct questions so that we had a full understanding of what this meant and what kind of helpful information we could share with the church. So it's been a very long process. It was very tedious. It probably became a whole lot more detailed. It involved all sorts of people, certainly not just my office, but it was really being directed from the office of the president, involved staff members from the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. So a whole lot of people gave a lot of time to try to offer some careful guidance and really understanding what the membership change would mean mm-hmm. for congregations that have charters of Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I know just from reading the responses on the website, the responses to the post on the website, there were lots of questions and people with a lot of valid concerns and questions from every perspective, you know, a lot of questions. So I know that a lot of work went into preparing materials to help congregations make wise decisions, to help parents make wise decisions. Now, the decision of the BSA that we're talking about was on May 23rd in 2013. The BSA, Boy Scouts of America, announced a policy change admitting homosexual youth to scout programs, and that becomes effective January 1st.
That's correct.
In 2014. Now, at the same time, they reaffirmed their position that scout leaders, openly homosexual scout leaders, would not be permitted.
That's correct.
So what is the change, and what does that mean for parents? What does that mean for congregations?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and this is what we hopefully have tried to answer and solidify in the memorandum of agreement that was signed, or memorandum of understanding with the Boy Scouts of America that was put out in October 7th with the rest of that material. Prior in the Boy Scouts, if at any time a boy were to come out and say, I'm gay, or I have same-sex attraction, or I'm questionable about my sexuality, am I heterosexual, homosexual. Previously in the Boy Scouts of America, that was grounds for termination and removing the child from scouting. Now, that is what got all whipped up into their vote, and there was actually an Eagle Scout who, prior to receiving his Eagle Scout, came out and said that he was gay and he was removed, and this caused lots of consternation with parents and adults, and was this fair and all the rest. But for us in the church, we wanted to know, what does that mean for a congregation who charters a troop? And what you have to understand is that the Boy Scouts work with this charter model. So when you re-sign your annual charter, you are sort of wholly the owner and operator of your charter. And Boy Scouts has a framework, a template of a program, and they then allow the charter to fill the content of that program, mm-hmm. including all teachings of religion or morality. And as a non-sectarian organization, that means it will and should reflect the local charter. So we wanted to be very clear with this membership change, because as we heard and understood from the BSA, you are simply not going to remove someone based on the fact that they acknowledge same-sex attraction. We took from that, that is no difference than the stance of the church. The church does not remove someone from the church simply an acknowledgement of sin. Rather,
this is, in fact, we encourage the acknowledgement of sin.
The church is, in fact, the place for sinners, and the church should, in fact, be the most inclusive, open place in the world, including for those struggling with their sexuality, that they might there be called to repentance and hear the gospel and actually receive in the gospel the power to live a sanctified life and turn from their sin, which will only happen in the hearing and receiving of the gospel. So we felt like the membership change then really doesn't change things for the LCMS chartered troops in their relationship to the boys that are there. Because as we shared in that, in the Memorandum of Understanding, it's very clear that the charter congregation still retains the ability to completely control the theological content, talk about sexuality, promote the teaching of the church, and at the same time has the ability to set the parameters and boundaries if a child is disruptive or unwilling to sort of acquiesce to the teaching of the church, is pushing any political agenda or sexual agenda. All these things Boy Scouts have always said, even before this change, that this was not acceptable in Scouts and was grounds for dismissal. And so we wrote that also in the memorandum, that even there, the local congregation has the ability to clearly teach the church's position on sexuality, who we are in Christ, what sin is, where redemption comes from, and that we have the ability to do that and can do that. And if a boy in Scouts were to become upset or refuse or want to kind of convert everyone, then we have the ability to remove them. So we felt like it was the ability for a congregation to still function, if they like, with Scouts as the church proclaiming the gospel to all in need.
What does that mean for the young man who is struggling, who identifies himself as having same-sex attraction? What opportunities does this provide for gospel?
Well, I would say that there have always been boys who've struggled with their sexuality in Scouting. And I think even in the past, in Lutheran troops, those things have been shared with adult leaders. And adult leaders have taken that as an opportunity, as an all-male, basically, organization with strong male role models to mentor those boys and to help and support them in those times and to proclaim law and gospel to them. Mm-hmm. And we don't think any of that has changed. In fact, we're sure. Scouting has been very clear with us that the church is absolutely free and autonomous in its teaching, doctrinal teaching within the chartered organizations of an LCMS troop.
So really nothing this hasn't caused any change specifically for the church. Going back to 1944, I think you said, is when the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod got involved in Scouting. It really doesn't change anything. And now we have this Memorandum of Understanding posted on October 7th to help reaffirm that, correct?
Exactly. And we've had Memorandums of Understanding. President Kieschnick had signed one several years ago. It was actually time to redo a Memorandum of Understanding, which the Synod does through the Office of President with several organizations that we relate with but do not have formal, you know, they're not an auxiliary, they're not a recognized service organization, they're organizations outside, yet with who we relate. So yes, I would say since 44, the understanding always was that participation in Scouting is not divisive of fellowship. It's not unionistic or syncretistic, those old Lutheran terms, and that it's up to a congregation to decide and to discern whether or not they want to be involved. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the things that has come out of the membership change and the LCMS's response. We're hearing from many, many congregations of the LCMS who've had chartered troops, some of them for decades, and they as a congregation have absolutely no participation or relationship with that troop. They have the charter, pastor doesn't do anything, their lay people are not involved. And I would say that that is not a good place for an LCMS congregation to be. If Scouts is going to allow the church to have the charter and fill it with its teaching, then the church needs to do that, or the church should not be involved in Scouting. Mm-hmm. So you need to be all in or all out. And I think that this vote has actually caused congregations to sit down and actually evaluate, why do they participate in Scouting? Is this a ministry of the congregation? Is this a way that we're reaching out into the community in a real way? Are we using this for the opportunity to evangelize and share the gospel within a program to kind of raise up character in young men?
So really what I'm hearing you say is that while it was disturbing at first, really what it was is a wake-up call to congregations who have just been kind of sitting and not really doing anything with their charter.
Well, for some of those, it has been. I think the decision is still disturbing in the sense that it is reflective, very much so, of where our culture is going. And I get lots of phone calls and lots of questions that say, well, Pastor Day, this is great for today. What's going to happen with the Scouts now? They've opened the door. We're going to have all kinds of issues. There's going to be calling all kinds of lawsuits. The reality is that probably those things are going to happen. The real meaning of this at the end of the day will probably be decided in the courts. And whether BSA made this decision now or later, there will probably be legal consequences. And one of the things I would like to stress is that some congregations have said that they feel themselves quite legally liable now, that they want to stay with Boy Scouts, they appreciate the memorandum. That's all well and good, but if this happens in our troop, in our congregation, and a lawsuit comes, here we're going to stand by ourselves. And the whole purpose of the memorandum is that when congregations of the LCMS find themselves entrenched in legal battles, there is opportunity for the Synod, Inc., mm-hmm. to be involved in those things. And rest assured that if a congregation is sued because of an issue with Boy Scouts of America, the Synod is going to be ready to stand there with those congregations, particularly if these are religious freedom issues.
Mm-hmm. Every day we see more and more religious freedom questions, more and more religious freedom issues that we're going to continue to face.
Absolutely. My office is still dealing with repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We still have the rippling effects of DOMA. Concordia Plan Services is still dealing with the HHS mandate. We have several RSOs that do foster care and adoption who are continually pushed by state law that they will place children with LGBTQ+ couples, or they will lose all of their state and federal dollars. So, I mean, we are in the midst of a cultural tidal wave. Even, rather sadly, at the recent LCMS youth gathering, those children who we polled, and this is a linear poll that's been happening for decades, every 3 years when we have a gathering, the number of youth who understand traditional marriage and sinfulness of sexuality and sexual activity outside of marriage, it just continues to plummet. Because the culture is, in many ways, winning. We're winning in the courts. I mean, religious freedom people will tell you that in the courts we're kind of holding our own. Cares at the end of the day if the homes are being destroyed, if the media is winning by pumping this into the heads of our youth? Some have, you know, will call me and say, well, you put out all this stuff, and the BSA, they had this great landmark decision in the Supreme Court case against Dale, where this gentleman, who was an adult leader, who was openly gay, filed a lawsuit, I believe, in the state of New Jersey, that he should have the ability to remain in scouting. This went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court actually upheld the decision of the Boy Scouts of America to not allow him to serve. So people will call me and say, well, after this decision, how could they ever get that decision again? How could BSA ever survive before the Supreme Court? Well, I would say they can't, and they won't. The Dale decision was a 5-4 narrow, narrow decision in favor of BSA. And if nobody's paid attention for the last two decades, the court and the members of the court right now, I mean, we've just struck down DOMA. If you think that they're going to uphold these kind of laws when they come before the Supreme Court, I don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. So people say, well, 10 years from now, all bets are off with BSA and they're going to have openly gay leaders and all the rest. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I know that those things certainly could happen. And if those things happen within BSA, or they're not able to keep the promises that they have made, if they're not going to allow congregations to remain autonomous in their teaching and have no other authority from Boy Scouts ever supersede the teaching of the church and Scouts, then we're going to walk away, and we're going to tell and ask the entire church to walk away, that we simply cannot remain. We don't think we're at that point. We think the church has the ability in scouting, if they want to participate, to preach the gospel, to preach law and gospel, to help shape the lives of the boys that are participating there. But that means churches have to be involved. They have to be engaged. They have to care about the program. They have to put money and time and effort and energy, pastor included, into participating to make it be a worthwhile venture for the church to be involved in.
For the congregation that says, for the congregation or the parent who says, this decision is too much, it's too risky for us, we're going to step out, we're done with BSA for now, and they're looking for other options. Say they find the new organization, Trail Life USA, and what do they need to be aware of when looking at Trail Life?
Well, you know that in that material that we shared, the participation in Scout-type organizations, We not only gave a lot of history about BSA and a lot of warnings of the pitfalls and dangers of participating in any scouting organization, we at the same time tried to share some helpful information about this new organization, Trail Life USA. It's difficult to understand and be certain exactly where Trail Life USA will go. At the meetings that we went to, there were two meetings, kind of a more quiet, closed-door meeting, thinking in the early stages, and then the public rollout where we took a number of folks to kind of listen and learn. It's sort of at an interesting place between being a better option from Boy Scouts of America with a stronger Judeo-Christian center to being all out a replacement for all your youth program and basically becomes youth group at your church. And I think they're still struggling there, whether they are really a youth group or whether they're really a scouting organization. And I think that they're trying to strike a balance in there. But that means that when you're not simply non-sectarian and allowing the charter to fill it up with its teaching, but the organization itself is going to give you and encourage that Judeo-Christian teaching, then the reality is that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and our sacramental theology has a pretty small voice in a very large sort of pan-evangelical theological world, which appears to be the sort of driving theology right now in Trail Life USA. So a lot of decision theology, a lot of emotionalism that was there at that event tied to spirituality, a very low view or anti-view of sacramental theology. So Trail Life, though, has been very open to say, we would love the LCMS to participate. We would love to have a memorandum of understanding with you. We would love you to encourage your congregations to participate. And more than that, we actually would like you to be at the table to share with us theologically about where you are and what we do to be sensitive to your theological needs and not to just kind of run over you or forget about you. And so that's been very helpful. And it's been very hopeful for the future that as they unpack this in the next few years, that we will have some LCMS people, and we have LCMS folks that are actually kind of closely tied to the kind of inner sanctum of Trail Life that's actually developing the program. So there is a lot of hope that there will be a place for us at the table there, and congregations may choose to participate in an organization like that. I think what we tried to say in the materials shared, that all of those organizations come with certain cautions, and no congregation should just go in with their eyes shut. If you want to participate in scouting, you really need to understand what you're getting into, and you have to commit to do it in a faithful Lutheran way.
And there's no reason to just to totally throw it all out the window. You know, scouting has its benefits, but take the time to read the materials that have been provided, to take the time to, as you said, to really get to know what it is you're getting into. Don't just go into it blindly, and don't just assume that at the same time, don't just assume that it's pointless or worthless either.
Exactly. And another thing that we have found throughout this process, and maybe I shouldn't say we, or it's maybe more for me, you know, there are national associations of Lutherans in scouting in the BSA, and it's the LCMS and the ELCA knotted together in this organization, and that organization was very unhelpful in the midst of all of this because it couldn't speak, because the LCMS had one opinion and the ELCA had another, and there the twain should meet on this topic with BSA. So that Lutheran organization sort of sat there rather quiet. And I'm not sure that from sort of the LCMS here at the headquarters, that for those congregations who want to participate in Boy Scouts moving forward, I think Synod owes it to them that we need to do more work. The God and Country, the Lutheran badges that boys can receive, the materials need to be updated. They're not as strong as they could be. They could be more helpful. They could be better in sort of cultivating a true Lutheran identity in boys in scouting. So I think we have to make a commitment also that through BSA, those kind of patches and things. And I think Trail Life will probably do the same kind of thing with organizations like PRAY, which provide those patches, but that's not just a Boy Scout organization. It falls into all kinds of scouting things that the LCMS needs to come and help fill the content, even of Lutheran badges and things, in a better way, and navigate our way of being kind of knotted up in scouting with the ELCA, which I just don't think is going to be a helpful relationship probably to continue into the future.
Knotted up. That was a pretty good pun there.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts on scouting as we wrap up our time today? Just a couple of minutes left. Just any other thoughts that, as a parent, what do parents need to look for? I know we've talked about what congregations need to look for. As a parent, what should I be looking for? Obviously, my son's not there yet, but you know, when that day comes, what do I need to be looking for as a parent if I'm looking at a troop, whether it be, you know, a charter at our congregation or somewhere else? What do I need to be looking for?
Well, and I'm going to speak personally. I think that when Lutheran families want to participate in scouting, particularly in the BSA, I would have grave reservations sending them to any troop that is not affiliated with an LCMS congregation, because all of those charters have the ability to teach anything that they want. And so what an LCMS charter will teach about morality and the truth of God's word will look very different than what the Jewish synagogue who has a troop will teach, or what the ELCA congregation in town will teach, or what the Kiwanis Club or whoever local auxiliary decides to put it on. Maybe they just don't teach anything. Mm-hmm. And yet that is teaching something too. So I would encourage parents that what I've found in all of this is that participating with just any scout troop, there are issues, and there can potentially be large theological issues there. Because to say that there's kind of no religion and no theology and no morality is in fact a religion of itself, and that's being pushed down our throats continually all the time, the sort of great truth of relativism, and I'll believe whatever I want and you can have whatever you want and we'll all be okay on the other side. And I don't think that's helpful in an organization that's supposed to be developing character and these kind of things in young boys. So I would encourage people that they want to be involved in LCMS congregation charters where that congregation is fully committed to participate in scouting, whether that's BSA or whether that's Trail Life. And to be honest, there are folks up in Wisconsin. We used to have a Lutheran scouting organization, the Ranger and the Rangerettes. As best as I can understand and tell, in South Wisconsin, there were people that still were running Ranger and Rangerettes up until the mid-90s. And there have been people who've come to me and said, well, we're going to resurrect Ranger and Rangerettes. Great. I mean, if you have enough mass of Lutherans in your area where you can do that, you know, that's great. I'm not going to take running scouting into my own office here at the Synod headquarters, and we're not going to roll out a scout program for people. But whatever you're involved in, it needs to be something, you know, that the church is there, that the church is fulfilling its mission and being actively involved in. And the one last thing that I would add is during all of this, we had an awful lot of questions from folks who said, what about Girl Scouts? We hear all kinds of rather unsettling things about the Girl Scouts. And what about this other organization called American Heritage Girls? Because we hear this is a Christian response to the Girl Scouts. Well, my office is still working on putting out some information on Girl Scouts, as well as on American Heritage Girls. American Heritage Girls would certainly love to have a memorandum of agreement with the LCMS, and I think that that's possible. There are certainly challenges and issues with the Girl Scouts of America, which we need to do some careful research on before putting information out. But we do hope to share. And Girl Scouts is more difficult because they don't charter like Boy Scouts do. So it's not the same organizational structure either. So we do plan to share that information with the church. It's not going to come anytime soon, but there are also a whole lot of girls that are involved in scouting, and similar questions now are being raised really in response to the Boy Scouts vote.
Today we've been talking with Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission. Thank you, Pastor Day, for spending some time with us talking about this important information.
Thank you for having me on. It's always wonderful to be here.